for Yom Kippur, and that means that we all have a lot of work to do. The holiest day of the year, the Yom HaKadosh, it's a tremendous gift. It's a tremendous opportunity, an opportunity that Hashem gives us once a year to do tshuva, to wipe the slate clean, and to start from scratch. And I think the way to approach the day appropriately is to penetrate the omek hayom, to penetrate the depths of the day, and to try to go deeper and try to understand what our avoda, what our nisayon, what is required of us so that we can maximize the potential in the day and to take the most out of the day. Now, generally speaking, the madrich, I feel the appropriate person to turn to for these inyanim is the mashkiach Rav Shlomo Volba Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The mashkiach Rav Volba was the mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael. He just passed away. Maybe now it's 2.5 years he passed away, and a lot of his svarim have been printed and reprinted, and now they're continually coming out. With his drushes on Parshas HaShavua that's coming out soon, right after Sukkot. There's a tremendous amount of insights that can be gleaned from Rav Volba's life and from his machshavas achayim, from the way that he approaches the Yom Noram and from the other chagim, and in general his midos and his avoda. And I hope, as Hashem, after Sukkot, I have to speak to Tak about this. I hope I'm anticipating starting Tzvila Vadim also, based on Rav Volba's Svarim and Alishor. Maybe it'll be, I think it'll be after Mincha. We'll have to work out exactly, but stay tuned for details. So I apologize for not giving the proper order to prepare the sources, but we'll try to learn them together, most of them inside together. And we're going to start with the page that says, Mamari Yimei HaRatzon Rav Shlomo Volba. Okay? Mamari Yimei HaRatzon is a compilation of 10 years worth of shmuzin that Rav Volba gave in Yeshivas Ber Yaakov on Inyanim of Yom Naran. It was published just 6 months before he died. These essays were published. And I think, as the title of this year was called, in terms of Yom Kippur, you know, preparing, focusing ourselves, I think this piece really helps us, enables us to hone in. So how do we prepare individually? What's our avoda for the day? So he starts by quoting a pasuk from Parashat Shoftim. I forgot to mention that the shir is the schus refuah shlema for Shoshana Basara. So the pasuk says Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha, right? That we need to be tamim, we need to be whole, we need to be tamimistic with Hashem Elokecha, with Hashem your God. And Rashi says there on the pasuk in Parashat Shoftim, Al tachkor achar ha'atidot, that one shouldn't be choker, one shouldn't begin exploring or investigating the future. Ela, rather, koma shemevi alecha, whatever Hashem brings upon you, kabel ba'ava. One should accept upon oneself whatever Hashem sends one's way, ba'ava, with love. Not an easy task. We'll have to talk about a way to do that. V'az tiyeh imo l'chelko. If you're able to do that, if you're able not to speculate into the future, but rather just kind of accept upon yourself what transpires in the moment, we're going to talk a lot about being in the moment, so then you merit to be imo, to be with Hashem, u'l'chelko, and to have a chelak in Hashem's nachala. Now Rav Volba, it's always important to be ma'ayin, to think in depth about what he's saying. Each and every word here is precious. And he says, kol adam. Right? He doesn't say rov b'nei adam. He doesn't say the majority of people. He doesn't say, you know, some people. He says, kol adam. So kol adam means what? Kol adam means, I guess, we'll have to see, 5-year-olds, 25-year-olds, 75-year-olds, 90-year-olds, kol adam. Every mention the velt. Every single person in the world, kol adam, does what? Mitivo, in their nature, choshev machshavot al ha'atid, harbe yoter me'asher al ha'hoveh. Every single one of us in this room, we're part of kol adam, and certainly other people as well. In their nature, they think about the future. They're always thinking about the future. much more than they're thinking about the present. Now, when I first read this, it struck me, because I just saw somewhere today in the news, there's some guy, maybe it was in the newspaper today, a 112-year-old guy, Japanese guy, oldest guy in the world. So what's Pshat? He's thinking about the future? Maybe he's thinking about the future. I understand, like a 5-year-old, 10-year-old, 20-year-old, all of us, so the future's ahead of us. That's where we're going. That's where we're orienting ourselves. We're getting a major, we're dating, we're thinking about our future. That makes sense. But he says, Kol Adam, every single person is thinking. There's a terrible joke that they say, that what do you say to a person, you know, on his 120th birthday? You say, like, you know, have a good day. Like, that's it. That's what they say. So I mean, so what's the asid? What's the future? So we have to understand why that is. Why are people so obsessed with the future? So Rav Volbe says, Lo mishum shu chacham haroas hanolad. So he's contrasting here. It could be that if you're really a chacham, if you're somebody that's a, maybe he means a Talmud chacham, somebody with the yediyas haTorah, maybe he means, it's not a person that has a lot of insight and wisdom. So if you fall in that category, and you're really able to project the nolad, what's going to happen, so then you're a chacham, right? But the problem is that most of us are not such big chachamim, and when we're thinking about the future, it's not necessarily per se because we really are roa es hanolad. That's not where we're oriented or coming from. Ela, rather, why do we do this? Mipnei shah dimyon, that's a big word here, the imagination, mishotet ba'atid ve'efsheriotav habilti mugbalot. People love, basically, the power, the koch of the imagination. The imagination is what keeps us going. Why do we like our imagination? Because the imagination is, it's not limited. You can imagine anything. Anything is possible. The whole world is open to you. When you're thinking, so you're not so happy right now. This is, psychologists could help here, you know. You're not so happy. Things aren't going so well, right? So why do you think about the future? The future could be better. We'll give a very simple example. Let's say you're poor. So the future you could become, right? They say this lady, J.K. Rowling, is that her name? The lady who wrote all these books?
Yeah.
She was like on the street. She was like a pauper. Now she's like, she's a big gvira. She's very wealthy. She has a pretty good imagination, the pashtus. But you see that that's the beauty of it, but that's the danger of it. The beauty of it is that it's unlimited in scope. Anything is possible. That gives a person a lot of chizuk. On the other hand, if you start thinking, you know, you just get off in a dream world, you don't ever accomplish, you don't ever do what you need to do right where you are in the moment, because you could be unhappy with where you are, you're not focused on what you need to do in the moment, and you run away with the endless possibilities that the imagination might entitle you to think, you know, that are yours. So he says, "Achacham haroas hanolad kovel lefizet maasav b'hoveh, ki hu ma'avchin betotzot komaisa shel ha'hoveh." Again, he's contrasting the chacham. If you're really a chacham who's roas hanolad, so then it's okay, because then you can use your projecting into the future to help you right now in the present. It can impact on your present. It can help you make very relevant decisions that help you now and will then catapult you forward for success in the future. But Amar lanu haTorah lo lachkor klal ha'achar ha'atidot. But he's not talking here about the chacham. He's talking about a person here who is living in imagination. He's in what we'll call fantasy land. She's in a fantasy world. He's in a fantasy world. He's not in touch with reality. Ubevo ma shegozer hashkocha lavo dehainu kishu hoveh velo atid. And instead of worrying about the future in a way that, you know, things that you can't control, things that are not chachma, things that are beyond chachma, so now, if you're able to stay in the present and just kind of deal with that, and rather than try to prepare for every contingency that might occur to you, instead, let things come to you and deal with them as they come, so then, you are then able to be mekabel things b'tmimus. Tmimus means simple, like you trust in Hashem. You trust Hashem is going to take care of things. You don't have to worry so much about what's going to be and what do I have to do. The Ribbono Shalom is going to take care of things. And even if it's something that I don't want, or even if it's something I'm not so happy with, I trust that the Ribbono Shalom knows what's best for me. He knows what's good for me. He gives me what I need. Rav Tzvi Meir Silverberg, I don't know if anybody's heard of him here or not, but he He actually says in one of his Kuntresim in Rosh Hashanah that a lot of us for Rosh Hashanah we want to have a very, you know, a very spiritual day. We want to daven appropriately, and then you come to shul, and that the lady next to you is talking, and this my wife we talk about the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We're waiting for the babysitter. The babysitter doesn't show up. My wife is planning to come to shul with Tekiah Shofar. No babysitter. It's Yontif. She can't call. Nothing. She just missed the whole thing. That's very frustrating. But that's, you know, but an example of this is Kabbal B'Tmimus. Yeah, you made all your hachanas and you made all your preparations. You want Rosh Hashanah to be the way you want it to be. You want Yom Kippur the way you want it to be. But ultimately, being Makabal B'Tmimus means whatever, as Tzvi Meir says, whatever Hashem brings on you, however He's Mesadur that day for you, that's what's best for you. And you trust that that's what you're supposed to be. And obviously, my wife wasn't supposed to be in shul. And obviously, she wasn't supposed to hear shofar. That wasn't what her avoda was at that particular moment. So the first paragraph, in essence, is saying, keep an eye on the clock here, right, might have to skip around, that we need to be in the moment, and this is very Nogeya Yom Kippur. I always like to give the following example from my personal life. Many years ago, I used to be a lawyer. I used to practice law. But before when I was graduating law school, I was interviewing for jobs on a job market. And I went, Erev Yom Kippur, 2 days before Yom Kippur, I went to some very, very highfalutin, prestigious law firm, and I was really, really dumb. And I went to the head of the whole recruiting department, and they had made me a job offer. And I had a job offer from a different firm. And I wasn't really sure which firm to go to, and they put out these rankings, ranking the firms. And they said that the firm I was, the better firm, the purportedly better firm, they were weaker in a certain area, a certain category. So I went, you never do this, but I went to the head of the whole thing, and I said, you know, I'm like this little schnook out of law school, I said, you know, it says here in these rankings that, you know, that your firm isn't up to par with this other firm in this inyan. So she looks at me like I'm a shugana, and she says, you know, if you want to go work for that other firm, that would be fine also. You know, you don't have to come work here. So my heart starts pounding because I wanted to go there. I don't know what I was thinking. And unfortunately, the next day was Yom Kippur. So as much as I tried, as hard as I possibly could, to get it out of my head, I can tell you that all of Kol Nidre was about, I shouldn't have, I should have, why did I, And then I think it took till Mincha time, finally, till Mincha and Yom Kippur, I was finally able to kind of for 2 hours, I was able to kind of get it out of my head. But that's very much the yisod, the foundational idea here, that, you know, that's, all right, that's a little bit thinking about the past, we'll get to that in a second, but the idea is that in particular moments in life, I remember before I got married also, so it's one of the big ironies of life, spend hours and hours preparing the chasana and getting the flowers and the dresses and the shetels and the gowns. I didn't do all that stuff, but that's what I'm told people do. And the whole thing is 5 hours. It goes so fast. You know, what's the? It's like that. So I remember somebody telling me, you know, that the Mirta Shem by everybody here, that the soda of the chasana is you have to be in the moment. At the tish, you have to be in the moment. You have to be aware of what's going on. And when you're dancing in the circle, you have to be aware, cognizant. Okay, you're dancing with this person. The way to live life in general is that to make the most of every single moment. And as much as possible, we're all human beings. We all get distracted. It's very, very hard sometimes. I just know this Rosh Hashanah is much less than that Yom Kippur, but things always creep into your head. But part of the Avodas Yom Kippur is we have 25 hours, the most special 25 hours of the year. No, it's nebuch, it's really sad. There are people that don't appreciate. You know, there are people in my shul that I know that they're already handling that they're gonna give their hope none of my Baal Batim hear this, but they're already handling that they're gonna give their donation at the Kol Nidre appeal based on how long the break is. If we can we'll give extra $100 if we can get an extra 10 minutes for the break between, you know, people, unfortunately not everybody appreciates what the day is, but Baruch Hashem we're Benos Aliyah here, we're people that wanna grow, and we have a tremendous opportunity, 25 hours. So we want to maximize, we want to soak up as much of the potential of those 25 hours as possible. Okay, so part A, not to get too far ahead of ourselves. And part B is, Rav Olba says, Me'idoch, on the other hand, Al tomar meh hayash hayom harishonam hayu tovim me'ela. Ki lo mechachma sha'alta alzeh. Right, we already said that the first part thinking about the future is a chisaron in tmimus. It's not being tamei. And if you're going, to start, you know, rehashing the past, we used to have Rabbi Flaum here as the Mashgiach Ruchani, and now we have this guy David Cohen. I mean, if you're gonna think like that, the other examples I'm sure also. So I'm saying if you're gonna think about, you know, all of YU is like that. You know, we used to have Rav Soloveitchik, and now whatever. You know, it's no, but people that really should get off the tape. My job is gonna be, I've been here 3 weeks, so I'm gonna be finished. Right? But we have a much better president now. You know, I'm really joking. But the truth is that, you know, but that's also an avva that people have, that we're always thinking about, you know, the past and getting caught up in what was, and it's a din. It's written in pasuk. It's written in Chazal. Yiftach b'dorah k'shmul b'dorah. Ein l'chalei achela etzel shofet shebiyamecha. Right. All you have is the dayan. You have that shofet that's in your day. That's what you have. You have what you have. Right. And I don't want to. It's going to take us too much time. But basically, he's basically saying also the past. You shouldn't let your mind wander too much into the past, that the past was better than the present. And he says, that's lo mechachma. I remember one of my rabbis, Moshe Weinberger from Esh Kodesh in Wimber, he used to tell this story. I always got a kick out of this story. He used to say that he had a guy that he was counseling, that he was helping, and the guy was in Shiduchim, and he went out very seriously for this girl for a long time, and it didn't work out. And he was despondent. He was very upset. And he never really got over it. And it's like 5, 6, 7 years later, and he's still talking about this girl. Meanwhile, this girl has 3 children. So he's at a chasana. So Rav Weinberger said this mice once. He was at a chasana. The guy was at the chasana. And he sees the girl. So he goes over to the girl. Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Fine. So then he goes back to Rav Weinberger, and he tells Rav Weinberger, you know, I saw her, this is like 7 years later. We'll call her Shlomit. I don't know, I'll make up a name. So I saw her at the chasana. And, you know, she didn't look happy. I saw she's not really happy. So Rav Weinberger said to the guy, Kedar Kovach Kodesh, he said, "No, you know, wake up. She's married with 3 kids. Like, it's time to move on." You know, like, he's like, she didn't look happy, like, living in the past. You know, whether she's happy or not, Lamaisa, she's attached. So it's a very, very big yisod life that people oftentimes are very much caught up in the past. Okay, now Rav Volbe here in the third paragraph, he wants to go to the depths of this getting caught up in the past. Okay, and he basically explains that we talked a little bit about why people are so intrigued by the future rather than the present. What is it about the past that's so intriguing and so enticing more than the present? And he goes on to explain here in this third paragraph, he says that what's so appealing about the past is it's concrete. It's a dover borrower, he calls it. It's something that's clear. The present, we don't like the present. Why? Because it's hakol rak b'hitavut. It's a process. It's a progression. However, what we're in now, where we find ourselves now, that's tkufas ha'avoda. That requires work. Right, that's a word actually that we read in the Nusach of Tefillah Rosh Hashanah, that may arpalei tohar, that the anonym referred to as Hashem looks out from the arpalei tohar. Rav Kook has a sefer called arpalei tohar that's all about inyanam Rosh Hashanah yimei hadin. So he's saying that it's murpal. The present is foggy. None of you know right now exactly what's going to be a year from now, or even 6 months from now, or even next week. So you're working on something, you're studying for a test, you're working on you're in a parsha with some guy. So what's going to be? I don't know what's going to be. So it's not clear. It's not clear. It's in progress. That frustrates people, right? I don't want to deal with this right now. That requires work. That requires calming myself, focusing myself, being in the moment, taking it step by step, not getting too far ahead of myself, not getting caught up in the past. But the past is easy because I know it's concrete. I'd rather think about what I accomplished already. I know that I was the valedictorian of my high school class. It's clear. I know. I accomplished it. I'd rather sit back and bask in that glory rather than having to live in the moment and do the avoda that's required of me right now. So Rav Volbe basically says that chakira into the osid, thinking too much into the future, is chisaron timimus. That's the chisaron not keeping with the pasuk tam tia, and gaguim la'avar, having aspirations for the past. So that's a chisar and chachma. So none of us want to be. We don't want to be not smart. We don't want to be not a tamin. So what do we want to do? He says, "Behachreich aleinu litrakeis ach v'rak al hove." We need to put our energies and focus ourselves and channel ourselves into the present. Now here, I just want to diverge for a second. I have a quote here that the Vilna Gaon apparently told his Talmud of Chaim Volozhner. Okay, he said like this: Al ha'adam lachshov sheyesh rak adam echad ba'olam. A person has to think that there's only one person in the entire world. Hu atzma, you. You're the only person in the entire world. V'yesh lo rak sha'achas l'chiyot, and you only have 1 hour to live. Hashash lachshav. That's the hour right now. Okay. V'yesh. He was talking to men. He said, V'yesh rak daf echad gemara ba'olam. There's only one page of gemara in the world. I mean, he's basically saying, I know that people are in Gemara here too, whatever you're learning. The idea is that there's a few hours, you have an hour, and you have what you're doing in front of you. That's all you have. And if you're able to have that orientation, so then, michyakach yatzliach. If you're able to live that way, you'll be able to be matzliach. Sometimes you find the most talented, brilliant people, they have all different types of, you know, fancy degrees, you wonder how they even accomplish such things. But the truth is that if a person is not emotionally healthy, if they're not able to be focused, if they're not able to kind of be in the moment, so then it doesn't matter how much natural ability you have, you're going to have serious impediments to hatzlacha, to accomplishing what one wants to accomplish. And I just mentioned here also that I think this is a very, very powerful message. Rav Shach, right? Rav Shach, the Gadol Hador, Rashiva, Panovich Yeshiva. So Rav Shach, you know what his Kabbalah was 1 year on Yom Noram? So you would think, the Gadol Hador, so he would be Makabo, that he'll chazer all of Shas in a month, maybe. Some other big Hasaga. Do you know what Rav Shach was Makabo on himself? Yom Kippur? Listen to this Kabbalah. He decided that he was going to bench from a bencher. Okay? He'd bench from a bencher only when he's at home and only until Tu B'Shvat. It's amazing. Think of this. The biggest Jew alive is mekabel on himself the smallest, most concrete, most detailed Kabbalah possible. What's the message? It's the same idea. It's being in the moment. Being in the moment means also being aware of where you're holding, what your capacity is, what you're able to accomplish realistically. Not to set a goal that's, you know, okay, Mirtz Hashem, life is long, and Mirtz Hashem will accomplish a lot of goals. There's a lot of svarim up there on that board. So Mirtz Hashem, you get to accomplish all of them one day. But right now, you have 4 days till you may have it. So what are you going to do? So you could say, okay, I'm going to do a little this, a little that, and end up with nothing. Or you could say, you know what, I want to work on this one inyan. One thing, I want to work on this one midah. I want to work on having more sadlanos, having more patience. I want to work on not getting angry at my parents. I want to work on whatever you want to work on. And just, you focus on that, you channel that. That's also being in the moment, being in touch with where you are in that particular moment in time. There's a beautiful maisa that there was a chassid of Moshe Kabriner who once came, he was once by the Kotzker Rav. And the Kotzker wanted to understand what was the godless of this Chassid's Rebbe of Rav Moshe Kabriner. He wanted to know, what's the godless of Moshe Kabriner? So he asked the Chassid, he said, Nu, tell me something about your Rebbe. What's your Rebbe's godless? What's his mitzvah that he excels in? So you know what the Chassid said? He said, whatever he's doing at that moment. Whatever my Rebbe's doing, that's his godless. That's this Yisod. Everything he does with complete focus, complete attention, complete devotion. That's the godless. I give a very, very secular analogy. If anybody here is a baseball fan, I don't know if anybody's a baseball fan, but there used to be a manager of the New York Mets. The Mets aren't doing so well right now. They're doing okay, but not doing so great. So the manager, his name was Bobby Valentine. I don't know whatever happened to him, but reporters used to ask him, are you looking forward to the Braves series? The Braves were the arch rival. They won the division for many, many years. So he'd say, you know, the Braves series is next weekend. You know, you're thinking about the Braves series? And he'd say, you know what, you know, you think about the big series, and he would always say, like, you know, the next game is the most important game we're playing is the game we're playing tonight. That's it. I don't care. The Braves are next week. Yom Kippur is next week. It's even true these days, not to waste these days. Yom Kippur is on Shabbos. It's very nice. But right now it's only Tuesday. So, you know, there's work to be done. Okay, so now I want to transition into like another deep nekuda here that, to be honest with you, I don't fully grasp. I really don't understand. I just came across the Shabbos, this piece from Tiferes Torah. This is Rav Shimshon Pinkus's Sefer on Parsha. And I don't know how many of you had a chance to read through it. If anybody understands it, I'd love for you to explain it to me afterwards, because I don't fully understand it. But I was excited about it because I do see there is a certain analogy, and you'll see if you read through the three sheets carefully, you'll see there's a lot of overlap between the three, even similar wording and similar language. I think that there's an idea here that he harps on that I think Revolve is saying. I don't understand it at all the way Rav Pinkus is saying, because he's saying it on a very deep level, but we'll try to take a stab at what he's saying. So what's so special about the present? At the end of the day, you can't be in the past, you can't be in the future, you need to be in the present. But what's the mila of the present? What is it? What is so unique and what's so special about the present? So here, Revolva marshals a raya from Ben Saramora. It's very interesting because he contrasts, for those who learned the Mar Makomas, you see that he contrasts Ben Saramora with Yishmael. And that's often the question that everybody asks. That's Gufa the Kasha, right? Yishmael was, he said, Basher Husham, and yet Ben Saramora gets Nidan Al-Shema Asif. So he's not asking that here, but it's just interesting that he contrasts the two. Paragraph apart from each other. I'm sure it's not a coincidence. So he says that the Ben Sormora, right, the rebellious child, Parshas Ki Tetze, is judged al shem sofo. He's judged because we know that based on his behavior now, he's going to, you know, it seems like what he's doing now is it's reflective that he's finished in the future, and therefore we wipe him out right now. So at first glance, that's very strange. But Revolva points out that it couldn't be that he would get such a severe punishment in the moment unless, he says, unless the roots, the garin ra, behoveh matzdik dinze. The seed of that behavior is already in the present. And he says here a very powerful line, ki behoveh nimtza hakol. Totzaot ha'avar v'garinei ha'atid, hakol nimtza behoveh. He says that the present, everything in life is in the present. If you think about it, if I would sit down with any of you for 15 minutes, okay, one-on-one, I would guess that I'm not a Navi, and I can't say with 100% accuracy, but I would guess that it would be relatively easy to figure out where you're coming from and where you're going. I can't say exactly, but if you get to know a person a little bit, and all of us, I mean, who knows us better than ourselves? We know ourselves the best. I mean, if we really know, we're really situated to know where we are right now in terms of where we came from and also projecting where we're going. It's everything is kind of embedded in the moment, in the present. And just to highlight it, if you saw here, Rav Pinkus is dealing with this idea at Sur Tamim Palo. He's trying to explain the idea again. Tamim Tiyad, that Hashem is, that He's the rock, that He's all His actions, all His deeds are Tamim, are straight. And he asks like a famous question, which is very interesting because I'll just contrast it with a few other things. He actually asks, you know, it's not fair, right? He says that some people were given better tools than other people. He says that Yaakov Avinu, you know, in the Beten, in his mother's womb, he was running to the base of Medrash. Esav was running to the base of Avodah Zarah, right? So it's almost not fair. Like, we're set up in a certain way to excel or not to excel, right? It's interesting because Rav Soloveitchik in a piece explains that's the whole avoda of the Shnei Se'irim on Yom Kippur. I think if I remember what he suggests there is that we, you know, the Shnei Se'irim, the Mishnah and Sanhedrin says they're exactly equal in size and all the dinim are the same, but one goes that way, one goes that way, and the whole message is we're kind of showing the Rabbanu Shalom that, look, basically, don't have tainus on me. It's a function of my environment. It's a function of my environment. It's a focus of my parents. So don't have tainus on me. So according to Soloveitchik's pshat in Sir Lazazel, that's like, you know, Sir Hashem and Sir Lazazel, that's almost the taina. That's like what we're taining to the Rabbanu Shalom. We're saying we're making this taina. That's what we're saying. Yet, I think it's interesting to note that the famous, well-known Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah about Tshuva. It's a famous Gemara about Tshuva. Everybody quotes it. Every Muslim sefer talks about it. Rav Elazar ben Durdaya, right? He was the biggest. He became the Rebbe of Tshuva. He was involved in every aveir in the world. He reached the lowest point, and then ultimately he does Tshuva and he becomes a Rebbe and he's a big tzaddik. Right, so it's a fascinating phenomenon, and the whole process there of the Gemara is, he says, he sees him in trouble, and he starts saying Har Mugvos Bikshu Alei Rachamim. He says that the Har Mugvos, the mountains, should ask Rachamim. So the Perushim there say, who is the Har Mugvos? Who's he referring to? So they say he's saying to Rebbe Shlomo, it's my parents' fault. The Har Mugvos, like the higher people, the people that raised me, it's their fault. They're the reason why. It was my environment. It was my sviva. And ultimately, Hashem rejects every single taina. Until the maskana of the Gemara is, Ein hadavar tolei ela bi, that he finally reaches the maskana that he's responsible for his actions. And that's when he's considered a big Baal Tshuva. So I just thought that was very, very interesting, because that's the big Gemara about Tshuva. And that comes out saying that you can't blame it on your sviva, and you can't blame it on all those things. It's interesting, I have to think about, I don't have the answer to this, you have to be my, and Harav Soloveitchik's idea with the Shnei Seir and how that jives with the Gemara by Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya. So that's certainly what to think about. But here, Rav Pinkus says something that I never saw in my life. So Rav Volpe was saying, but Pashtus, the idea is that in the moment you could see the seeds of the past and the future. Okay, so then I understand. That's logical. It's not such a crazy advanced concept. It's relatively possible to get a grasp on that. But Rav Pinkus says something way beyond. He says in paragraph 2, he says this all has to do with Shoresh HaNeshamos. And he says that the question, well, Hashem, it's your fault. Why did you give me these parents? And why did you give me this environment? And why did I grow up in wherever I grew up, in Yehupitzville? So he says that all has to do with the Shoresh HaNeshamah. He says, V'sham b'shoresh ha'avar ha'oveh v'ha'atid ha'kol shaveh. He says, in the Shoresh, this is amazing, this is Rav Volpe saying, I think on a much deeper level. He's saying that the Hoveh, Atid, and the Avar are all there in your Shoresh of your Neshama. Okay, now, step by step. I thought I understood that, and you see in the next paragraph, so the way he tries to be Miyashev that and explain that is like, okay, this has to do with Yediyah and Bechira and the famous questions in the Rambam and all these things, that's what it has to do with. And it could be that what that means, one pshat is, he says that it could be that the Rabbeinu Shalom has the ability to, he knows what we're going to do. He sees our actions in the future, and that doesn't take away our Bechira, even though he sees our actions. And then he goes and he sets us up in the place, like almost where that's matim to where we're going to go. Like that's what he tries to say, and even that makes some sense to me. Okay, but Rav Pinkus says in the very last line of this piece, he says that's not the pshat. He says, and he creates everything from the beginning based on what you're going to choose. He says, even though that's the way it is practically, but listen to this. Okay, I'm not going to be able to articulate this. I'm just going to basically repeat what he says, and we need to think about it more. Okay? He says, a person basically carves out with his or her actions to the depths of who we are. Okay? Each and every one of us, with our actions, in the moment, are able to be choder, or able to penetrate to the depths, to the core of who we really are. V'hu ha-koveya mitziyuso. And that's koveya who you are. That's koveya your mitzius. V'gam koveya, and somehow that's koveya, which makom be'ezes man yulad. That's also koveya where you're going to be born and at what time period you're going to be born. Hakol b'meshach yimei chayav. That all happens during the days of your life. I just translated the words. I don't really understand that, but he's saying something very, very deep here. I mean, he's saying something beyond deep here. Somehow, what we're doing in the moment, we are somehow being koveya now, what we're doing, my giving the shiur right now, is somehow being koveya that I was born in West Hempstead, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and that I grew up in West Hempstead, and all the things about me. Can't explain that. Because he's not explaining that Be'etzem Apshat, he's not saying it's based on the Rabbanu Shalom doing it. He's saying we're doing it. That's clearly what he's saying. If you read it carefully, that's clearly what he's saying. I think that's something to think about a lot. It's really something to be misboning on. The simplest level is Revolve is Pshat. It's just, okay, in the moment, like, I can kind of figure out where you come from and where you're going. But either way, I don't think it's so important to be Magdir to say what Rapik is saying exactly. It's certainly something a little bit beyond our grasp. But it is important to recognize that everybody's highlighting that the power of the moment is the ability to, at the same time in that moment, you're able to harness, rather than being distracted by your future and not being tamim and being in the Koach HaDimyon, and rather than being stuck in your past and going back to the good old days when times were better and not being a chacham. So instead you have the capacity in the moment to marshal all of your experiences from your past and all the kochos of where you're going, and to harness, I think what he's saying, maybe, is to harness it all in the present and to use that to catapult you and to help you in that moment where you find yourself. I think that's the godless of what the being in the moment is. And there also, I'm going to finish up in a few minutes just with these letters. This is, I mean, they're a famous, we'll also have to read this piece from Rabbi Nachman, the same idea. But they're famous, there's songs like this, there's sayings like this, like, Ha'avar ayin, right, the past is gone, V'ha'asid adayin, the future is not yet. And the moment is like the blink of an eye. Daga minayin. Why should, if you really think about that, and you chazer it over, and you say to yourself, like, what do I have to worry about? Well, my soul, what do I have to worry about? The past is done. I can't change it. And where I'm going, it's not here yet. Not here yet. I still have to worry about right now. Right now. The right now is like each moment is like that. So it's really an avoda. It's an avoda in Simchas Achayim that. To be besimcha, you know, I'm doing the best I can where I am, but I don't have to worry so much, right? Others say it in a more secular way. The past is history, the future is a mystery, and now is a gift, and that's why it's called the present, right? All these different mamarim that have been created to convey these ideas. These are nice ideas, but we understand now on a deeper level what this idea is. Now, let's just quickly go over Kisvei Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman on the bottom of the page says also the same idea we quoted before from the Vilna Gaon, that it's called Godol Ba'avodas Hashem, that you have to be in that moment. And he says even Be'esek HaParnasa, even when it comes to making a living, that you can't start thinking about the next day. He also says in the piece, though, at the same time, you can't put things off till the next day, right? You can't be running away to the next day, but at the same time, you can't like say, okay, like I'll do that tomorrow, I'll get to that tomorrow. And he quotes from L'chu Nirana, from Kabbalah Shabbos that we say on Friday nights. He's quoting from Hayom and Mekol Tishmo Hayom Daika, right? The Dafka Hayom, that's the Yom, that everything has to be in the Yom. And so again, particularly the Yom HaGodol, Hayom HaGodol Vanoro, Shabbos Shabbosa, Yom HaKippurit. Particularly in that yom, so that's a yom where we have to, you know, even if we can't do this on a daily basis, if we're not matzliach all the time in doing this, but on special days, right, in special makomos. I always talk a lot about, you know, there's certain makomos that we have an aliyah, an inherent aliyah. Some of you know that I had a maisa by Amuka, that certain makomos, there's a potential for aliyah to have a different type of tefillah. We know when we go to the kotel, there's a different maisa, there's a different, you know, metzias. There's certain makomos, right? You know, Adam, Makom, and Zman, these are the three bechinos. So particularly when you find yourself in a particular Zman, you know, Yom Kippur, it's Lamalam and Zman. Soloveitchik writes a lot in Halachic Man, he writes all about the halachic process of the sun setting and beautifully writes about, you know, Kol Nidre setting in, like, with this setting of the sun, it's like a new halachic reality. And if these lashonos, you know, resonate with you, so good. I'm trying to bring in all different types of lashonos. I know we have a diverse crowd of people. So, but the ideas are manifest in all the different writings and all the different hashkafas. You can find the same yisodos. They're formulated differently, but the bishorsham, they're saying a lot of the same things. And I think we should end with these two letters here. Now, I imagine that the Pachet Yitzchak letter, I imagine a lot of people are familiar with. It's like a famous thing in a lot of the yeshivas and seminaries. Everybody loves to talk about this letter from Rav Huttner. I'm guessing that the the Rav Pinkus letter is not as well known, but I think it struck me when I was going through the letters how similar they were. It just struck me like fascinating, and I think these letters are actually examples of not being in the moment. They bring out, there's a certain chizuk to it, but there's also like, about not being, and it happens to be ironic also, because we were talking before about this whole idea of like having tainas about, we saw from Rav Pinkus before, that he's asking, he starts off, well, why was I born like this and I had this situation? It's interesting because if anybody's familiar with this Rav Hutner, this Holy Geras, so I didn't quote the whole letter, but if the whole letter there, he talks at the beginning about, he says there, clear, he says that nobody's born the Chafetz Chaim, everybody's born a Yehudi Pashut. He says, how many Nisyonot did the Chafetz Chaim overcome until he became the Baal Shmiras HaLashon? How many years did he struggle with? So it's interesting, again, like in all these sources you see these, like, they're all talking about the same ideas with different orientations. It's fascinating that, that he's saying there also this idea that, the Baal Tanya writes, Lehefech, the Baal Tanya talks about the tzaddik has certain special buchinos that is lamala from other people, so it's just interesting that all these different makaras take different orientations, different approaches. There are different orientations and approaches, but I just love the lashonos of these letters, right? He says that Bar v'lo mevin, sachal v'lo yodea, shote v'tipesh, meaning, but at the same time, it's not being in the moment. That's where the Talmud is coming from, because he's getting all wrapped up in the past and what's going to be with me. But at the same time, I want to end on the nakuda of chizuk, because I think it's rampant. I worked last year. Last year I was a mashgiach from the NYU, so this year I'm in Stern. So I have a familiarity with what I'll call this tzibor, people, not everybody, some people have already been here a few years, some people didn't come from Eretz Yisrael, but particularly with the population that comes back from Eretz Yisrael, the transition is very, very difficult. Yeah, I was talking to one of the women here recently a few days ago. We were reminiscing about the davening in Shalavim on Rosh Hashanah, and how painful it is not to be there, and I relate to it. I understand it. It's such a challenge. It's a terrible challenge. And a lot of times we come here and we feel like it's fafal, and like, forget it. This is not Eretz Yisrael. It's a beautiful base marriage, but it's not Eretz Yisrael. I know my wife told me last year, my wife is a graduate of Mechala, so she came here last year to hear Rav Pollack speak at T-Cube. And apparently the first thing Rav Pollack said was, girls, this is very nice, but it's not Eretz Yisrael. That's apparently what he said. I don't know, I wasn't there, but that's what he said. And okay, it's true. Well, nice, it's true. But at the same time, like to be like to be Mara Shlora, and to be like completely like you can't grow here and you can't do anything here and it's just a waste is also a terrible, terrible approach. And I think that it happens a lot. Like we're coming back from such a high, or coming back from whatever environments we find ourselves in, and now it's hard. It's schwer, we say in Yiddish, right? You have to be in the moment, and being in the moment means you have to sit in this class. And the professor might even be saying something that's something you don't like so much. Maybe it's not even so halachic. Whatever it is, these things happen. It's been known to happen here, from what I understand. And this tape really shouldn't get anywhere. So these things happen, and it's very easy to just be like to give up and to say what's the point, and the person can be very negative and the person can be very, very small. Yeah, I want to say one other. Just because it's been bothering me a lot, nothing to do with this, but it's a similar nakuda. I'm a rav in a shul, and my shul, lemaisa, a lot of my baal batim are, I wouldn't call them, it's a baal tshuva shul, but it's not that type of baal tshuva. It's a lot of people that like grew up from religious, going to modern day schools, but unfortunately they're not, they're not necessarily b'nei aliyah. They're not so oriented in growth. They have other important inyanim in their lives. They're starting families. They're trying to make it a business. It's not their main focus. So I try to gear the shul on their madrega, to try to help them to the next madrega. I spoke a lot before I came back to America from Eretz Yisrael. I spoke to Ramo Shapiro, who's a very, very big God in Eretz Yisrael, and I said to him, what am I? I'm going to go back there. I'm going to help people move from here to here. And he said to me, yes. He said, if you can help people move from here to here, then the whole world is kedai for that movement, from here to here, to move a drop. Okay? So there's a lady in my shul who's very, very frum. Very, very frum. But she's so frum that she can't take when I talk to people about like the madrega that they're on. Like, can you imagine that I'm talking in the Young Israel about the fact that, you know, that the women need to be dressed more tzanua, or that the men need to go to minyan. These are like such posh things that people have to learn Torah. But so I understand on one hand, like, she's right, on one hand she's right, and I'm not discounting what she's saying, but on the other hand, like, it's such a ketanus, it's such a, like, so rigid that if everything is not exactly the way it has to be, then the whole enterprise is fafalan. You know, I think, I'm not sure I understood Rav Moshe correctly, but I think he was saying the opposite. I think he was saying that if you can move a person from here to here, we all know, we're all familiar with Rav Dessler's Nekudas HaBechira, and each person's Nekudas HaBechira is different, it's a whole different shmooze. But at the end of the day, we all know that, you know, each person, where we are, Basher Husham, we need to move to the next step. That's what Yom Kippur is about, that's what the Avodah is about. Every one of us, wherever we are, we have to take the next step on the ladder. Right, and that's what we have to do. That's our avodah, and that's what Rav Huttner is telling his Talmud, and that's what Rav Pinkus is telling his Talmud, and they're saying that you know, he says the words from Rav Huttner, just you have to read the words. He says that shorish, again, the shorish of the neshama. Again, it's unbelievable. Shorish neshmaschu lo ashalva shal yetzer atol veladafka milchamto shal yetzer atol. The shorish, the root of what makes you a yid and what makes you worthy to be here in this world, is not when everything's going smooth and everything's going nice and everything's gevaldik, but it's specifically the mochama with the yetzer hatov. It's when you have to fight. It's in the moment. It's being in a makom that's not perfect. That's about integration. It's about trying to get the best of both worlds and trying to figure out the balance and trying to work on those things and to continue to be a Bas Yisrael and to be Benos Aliyah, but at the same time do the things you need to do and maybe even gain from those things and see how those things can complement your Avodas Hashem. It's a much bigger, broader picture than just, you know, we're moving on. We're also, we moved on to the next stage now. Now we're in college. We're finished seminary. So now we're the next level. So Baruch Hashem, we're next level. I'll just mention also, I think it's a beautiful thing, is that the institution, I really should stop talking. The institution itself has really gone the extra mile this year. They brought me in here. They brought in four wonderful, very talented Majrichot Ruchaniyot to help. They're really trying. They're really sensitive to the needs of, you know, President Joel and Dean Braun and everybody else that's involved. They're very sensitive to the needs of the student body. They're responsive. They understand the phenomenon of coming back and the challenges, and they really want to lend as much support as possible, but at the same time to recognize that it's good to be in a situation like this that presents challenges, because the more challenges there are and the more you're in the moment and the more you struggle, the more potential for growth that ultimately there can be. So I just want to say Ashkoch, everybody, for listening for so long, and I want to wish everybody a Gemar Chasima Tov and a good Givin Shior. And I'll mention also just that I'm here every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. My hours are 12 to 6:30 generally, although on Tuesday nights I'm here till 9:30 for T-Cubed. I have an office on room 104, which is on the main lobby by the back, going down to the calf by the elevators. I teach a class Tuesday afternoons from 3:15 to around 5 o'clock, so other than that, I'm not available. But I'm there.